Scrooge rose, but finding that the spirit made toward the window, clasped his robe in supplication. "I am a mortal," Scrooge remonstrated, "and liable to fall." "Bear but a touch of my hand, there," said the spirit, laying it upon his heart, "and you shall be upheld in more than this." As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road, with fields on either hand. The city had entirely vanished. Not a vestige of it was to be seen. The darkness and the mist had vanished with it, for it was a clear, cold winter day, with snow upon the ground. "Good heavens," said Scrooge, clasping his hands together as he looked about him. "I was bred in this place. I was a boy here." The spirit gazed upon him mildly. "Strange to have forgotten it for so many years," observed the ghost. "Let us go on." "These are but shadows of the things that have been," said the ghost. "They have no consciousness of us." The jocund travelers came on, and as they came, Scrooge knew and named them every one. Why was he rejoiced beyond all bounds to see them? Why did his cold eye glisten and his heart leap up as they went past? Why was he filled with gladness when he heard them give each other Merry Christmas as they parted at crossroads and byways for their several homes? What was Merry Christmas to Scrooge? Out upon Merry Christmas! What good had it ever done to him? "The school is not quite deserted," said the ghost. "A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still." Scrooge said he knew it, and he sobbed. They went, the ghost and Scrooge, across the hall in the school to a door at the back of the house. It opened before them and disclosed a long, bare, melancholy room, made barer still by the lines of plain deal forms and desks. At one of these, a lonely boy was reading near a feeble fire, and Scrooge sat down upon a form and wept to see his poor, forgotten self as he used to be. Words of Charles Dickens from A Christmas Carol. Dickens, who has created here a moving recognition scene, as it might be called. Perhaps much of the power of Dickens' piece has to do with recognition. And waking up, certainly, Scrooge's bed is a key for readers. Will Scrooge wake up in time? And by extension, will we recognize ourselves in this story in any way? Will a ghostly finger point our way? Director Scott Colin will tell us of the choices he has made in staging A Christmas Carol that plays with the whole notion of recognition, and also, on a personal note, of his own coming to see himself in a young lad on the stage right there before him. Little Theatre of Wilkes-Barre will present A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and members of the cast and crew stopped in to fill us in. Director Scott Colin, Kevin Costley, who is Scrooge, David Schock, who will play Jacob Marley and is lighting designer as well, Chris Kowalski, who is Tiny Tim, and Emily Cook, the assistant director. Scott Colin gets started with the story's perennial power.
It's the journey that Ebenezer Scrooge takes. You know, you're talking about a man who has lived his life a certain way his entire life, and he is now approached by his old partner, Jacob Marley, and says, you know, your eternity is going to be severely affected by how you're living your life. And so he has the opportunity, which so few of us do, to see how the direction of his life has changed based on his decisions in the past, based on his decisions in the present, and based on what the future holds for him. And so he's approached by these three spirits, and he has this opportunity to change. And we, as, you know, regular flesh and blood human beings, do not have that opportunity to really retrospect like that. And so we get to live vicariously through Scrooge, and then introspect on our own lives. Okay, what decisions have I made? What decisions could I have made better? How can I make my present better? What can I do for people who are struggling? What can I do for people that are not having a good Christmas? And it's wonderful that we do this every December, and we are able to look at our lives through Scrooge's eyes. I wish we could do it all 12 months. And say, what can I do for the betterment of humanity? One of my favorite lines in the show is spoken by Jacob Marley, and that's, mankind should have been my business. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, you're always a good man of business, Jacob. No, mankind, that's where my heart should be. That's where I should be putting my excess money. And that's why, I love the show, and I have a very, very deep, deep love for A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Kevin, you've played Scrooge so many times over the years. Is the character getting deeper and richer? What about your insights as you continue to grow with the character?
Well, I've done Scrooge in a number of different versions of A Christmas Carol, and I find each one of them presents different problems and different insights. I have become, in my own mind at least, an expert on A Christmas Carol. I think I've seen almost every movie that's ever been made, and that's over 50 different versions of A Christmas Carol in movies. And I find a different aspect of each performance that inspires me to slightly alter my last performance. This show is very centered on Scrooge forgetting his childhood. And it's represented in him encountering numerous children through the show. And he regrets, in the end, the way that he has treated every one of them, knowing that in the Christmas past, when they show Scrooge as a child, he's pretty much the same as the children that he berates throughout the show.
Scott, it looked like you wanted to respond.
No, I mean, I think he's dead on. And I think that this particular adaptation that we're doing is by a gentleman by the name of Romulus Linney. And he has taken the character of Scrooge and created this whole masterclass of looking at our lives. And there are lots of different things that not only Romulus puts in that I, full of hubris, say that I put in as well, that allows Scrooge to look at different segments of his life and learn from each one, and you see Scrooge grow through each encounter. And what Kevin was alluding to is whether there's this one particular boy that keeps appearing in all these visions, and it's tormenting him, and he can't figure out why until he gets it. And I don't think I'm telling tales out of school. You know, if you don't know the story of A Christmas Carol, read the book before you come see the show. So it's a wonderful book.
It's a beautiful book, yeah. In fact, I find that the mistake that playwrights and filmmakers make is the further they go away from Dickens, the less I like the product.
It's almost like Dickens knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Wow.
How are you finding that Jacob Marley fits into the puzzle, David?
Well, obviously my time on stage is a lot shorter than a lot of the other characters, but as Scott pointed out to me, which is kind of both exhilarating and frightening at the same time, is the fact that Jacob is kind of the character that moves all the action going forward. Because, you know, now for me, you know, Scrooge would have gone home, another lousy Christmas, blah, who cares? And all of a sudden, I come along and say, okay, Scrooge, you got to clean up your life now. And it's exhilarating, but it's just like, oh my God, if I don't move this show is going to go right down. Thank you very much.
How are you handling the supernatural elements in this production, Emily?
I think in this show in particular, the way that Scott's vision encompassed it, we are absolutely playing up the supernatural element to the show. These ghosts are there and they are larger than life. In the way that Dickens wrote them, they're larger than life. And then in the way that they're portrayed, just Scott really did a wonderful job of creating the characters as my mind's eye saw them when I read A Christmas Carol the first time.
Now, we've heard about children in this production of A Christmas Carol. Is this your first time on stage, Chris?
Yes, it is.
Mom has said you really wanted to give this a try. Is it as easy as you thought it might be?
No, it is not.
What about learning all those lines?
It's easier as you get going. Like, as you learn your lines more and more, it gets more and more easier.
Tell us about Tiny Tim. What kind of fellow is he?
He is a kid with problems. His right leg is broken and he needs a crutch.
You sing, don't you?
Yeah, I sing the Hark the Angels and, well, I sing the start of it and then Mrs. Cratchit comes in and then sings part of it and then she gets everybody in it and making me back in.
As a director, Scott, how are you finding Chris doing?
I was hoping you'd ask that question. Umpteen years ago, my very, very first onstage appearance was A Christmas Carol, and I played Tiny Tim. That was 1,000 years ago. And when I took on this project, one of the things that I said is I want to find an actor that has never been on stage before that has the chops to do it. And thank God Chris Kowalski walked into that audition because you're doing a wonderful, wonderful sweetheart job. And so congratulations to you. And I'm so thankful that I was able to make this your first theatrical experience because you're like, I'm living vicariously through you. Much like Scrooge went through the Christmas past, you're my Christmas past. And so it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
How do you set the stage, Scott?
The trick to A Christmas Carol is that there are so many different scenes, and being able to go from one scene to the next seamlessly, it gets very, very difficult. I mean, it'd be wonderful if we have a brand new fly system, if anybody wants to donate, and be able to fly sets in and out and do all that. But what we've created is rolling platforms that are able to be very versatile. Bernard Mulcahy is our set designer, and he's also the technical director for the theater, and he is brilliant at what he does. And so he's created this beautiful set. We have Felix Wauer coming in to paint. He's been our scenic designer for a long time. And so it's just wonderful, seeing those two minds collaborate and create all these wonderful scenes, not just Victorian England, but we have to go back further in the past. We also, have the graveyards and Fezziwig's, office, and it's all these different locales, and being able to create those individually is going to be magic.
It may not be fair to make you, Emily, the spokesperson for the women in the cast, but tell us about some of the characters that particularly delight you.
Well, some of the women in our show that absolutely capture me every time they're performing, Carol Sweeney as our Ghost of Christmas Past, is absolutely enchanting. She is everything I could have possibly dreamed her to be in that role.
She's a bubble of light.
She is. Yes. In life and in the show, she's a bubble of light. And then especially Toni Jo Parmalee as well as Mrs. Fezziwig really brings that role to life. It's just watching some of my favorite storybook characters walk in front of me and then seeing them in real life and knowing them in real life and being able to talk to them as well is very, very much the same.
John Bubble is Mr. Fezziwig. And so if you know the two, they are very different. And it's watching them together is an absolute joy. It's very sprightly.
And they have to wear something very festive. What about the overall costumes?
The costuming is done by Sharissa Picotti, and she's brand new to theatrical costuming. This is her first time working with us. But what she does is she does cosplay. And so she does theatrical quality Star Wars costumes that are just an absolute amazement to see in real life. And now we're bringing those talents to the theater, and it's pretty exciting, actually. She's doing wonders.
Kevin, you've told us you've done Scrooge so many times, and it means that you've done it over the decades, and times around us change through the decades. What are you finding about doing A Christmas Carol in 2019?
I don't know whether it... I find it timely whenever I do it. And in fact, I find the years that I don't play Scrooge less magical than the years that I do. It gives me something to project my Christmas spirit with. Whereas, I'm not a big Christmas decorator and I don't go to a lot of Christmas parties. That just doesn't move me. But but Christmas Carol does. And I watch every version I can find. I read every book or script that has anything to do with Christmas Carol. I find myself drawn to it over and over and over again. I've been in productions of Christmas Carol since I was in ninth grade. And I just find each time I do it just more and more inspiring.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the world has grown detached from its humanity, and I do agree with you. I think you touched on that with something you said earlier. And I do think that that Christmas Carol in particular, Christmas has always been a time of reflection because it's toward the end of the year. You know, the weather's getting colder. I mean, just Christmas time in general, we're spending more time with family. We're spending more time with our loved ones. And we're looking back on not just the year, but just our lives in general. And A Christmas Carol helps us do that. You know, as I alluded to earlier, we are taking that journey with Scrooge as he looks at his life. But I'm going to also go one step further and say theater in general gives us a chance to reconnect with our humanity. It's a time that we turn our phones off for 3 hours or 2.5 hours, depending on the length of the show, and we actually connect with another human being. And it's not just watching a movie or watching a television show where these are images. These are real flesh and blood living human beings acting out roles in front of us. And that totally makes a difference. It helps us connect with our own humanity. You will get moved by a theatrical experience much more quickly than by a television show or by a film, and definitely by interacting with our phones. And so it's a time to reconnect to that. And A Christmas Carol is a perfect vehicle for that because Scrooge is reconnecting with his humanity. And that is, it's so vitally important to remember that around the holidays. Can I get pertinent information?
Yes.
A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, adapted to the stage by Romulus Linney, will be formed at Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre December 6th, 7th, and 8th, and the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Fridays and Saturday nights are at 8 o'clock, and the Sunday matinees are at 3. You can get tickets at www.ltwb.org or call the box office at 570-823-1875.
Okay, Tiny Tim, do the honors, please.
God bless us, everyone.
Members of the cast and crew from the Little Theater production of A Christmas Carol, we met director Scott Collin, Scrooge Kevin Costley, David Schock, who is Jacob Marley and the lighting designer, young Chris Kowalski, who is making his stage debut, he will be Tiny Tim, and Emily Cook, the assistant director. A Christmas Carol at the Little Theater in the version by Romulus Linney, and that is December 6th through the 15th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3, the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, 537 North Main Street. For more information on the web, ltwb.org, ltwb.org. A Christmas Carol at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, 537 North Main Street in downtown Wilkes-Barre, December 6th through the 15th. Shows Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. ltwb.org.